Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I am delighted once again to be back with you and bring in my colleagues, Dr. David Krause and Ryan Snowden from HC3, who have just returned from an amazing trip where they went to the NEHA Educational Conference. Been a lot to learn, a lot of things that came up there that may give you cause for concern and also may put you in asking deeper questions. And so that's what we want to be here for today. We're going to cover that, what the overarching theme was, what we can learn from it, and potentially the fallout that could happen as well. So, gentlemen, welcome back.
Thank you. Thank you. Thanks we so had much. A wonderful time visiting our colleagues at the National Environmental Health Association and their annual conference in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania.
David, you were there giving a presentation, and we'll talk a bit more about that presentation, but this is the first time that you've joined myself and David on here. Ryan, you're an integral part of the HC3 team. But what I want to kind of dive in with you before we talk about the event and maybe what you found from there as well was you're the guy on the ground, right? Been there. You've been in the trenches, as Dave and I would say. You've been in the trenches.
The man in the tubs.
You've had the uniform, and you've been working at that level, taking all these samples. So we're actually going to be talking about Legionella and the issues and things like that. So how did you find the conference in terms of what you learned from it, from your experience of being on the ground to what you saw in the conference? Where was any disconnects, or where could you go with it?
Gotcha. Well, first of all, thanks for having me, guys. I appreciate being part of this conversation. As far as the trip to NEHA, the first thing I'll mention is we met several people, lots of people that were obviously very caring, very concerned, and very motivated, not only to share their ideas, but to also come away from the conference with more ideas so that they could put their boots on the ground and go out and improve public health in any and every way. And so that was a number one, is everyone that we encountered obviously had a passion for what they do and a passion for people and the health of those people. The second takeaway is that I found that most of them, specifically with regard to Legionella, have very little experience dealing with an outbreak or with a case. And in a lot of cases, may feel inequipped to be able to take a 4 o'clock call on a Friday afternoon that there is an impending case, and how do they go about assessing that and getting everything in place for them to be able to get results that will give them answers that they're seeking. Again, that's not a shot because they're very well informed and well educated, but they don't have the experience to go out in a lot of cases and deal with a problem like Legionella. But again, I think that a good part of this conversation is giving them some tools, giving them some resources,
absolutely,
peeling back that curtain and showing them, hey, not only can you do this, you've got resources to help you. But again, it was a great time, great people, very knowledgeable. And I was thrilled to come away from there knowing that we've got people out there who are working hard to keep everyone safe.
Fantastic. Thank you, Ryan. And David, obviously there's people out there that understand Legionella. There's people going to be listening to us as we do. We have various different listeners from all fields. Let's talk a little bit about Legionella, the problems that we are finding now, as opposed to back in the day, back in 2010, we've seen a lot of things escalated. And what was the kind of the main underlying truth that you were talking about at the conference?
Well, you know, first I want to step back and remind folks that environmental health, which is a component of every county and city health department across the country, that's where I came from. That's where I first served as an industrial hygienist, and those are my roots. And, you know, I was part of the National Environmental Health Association and Florida Environmental Health Association 30 years ago. And so, you know, this is the group that I was comfortable working with and had known for years. Obviously, I've moved on to a broader practice in industrial hygiene and But these are the guys and gals who go out on a regular basis and investigate whether it's foodborne illness, waterborne illness, chemical exposures, all types of things. It's a highly diverse job, and I hold every one of them in high regard. However, they're underpaid and under-resourced, and the resources and budgets they have today are a fraction of what they had 20 and 30 years ago. We work with them on a regular basis still because it's environmental health officials from county or state health departments that go out and investigate Legionnaires' disease outbreaks and suspected clusters of disease. But their training has become less and less over the years. And if it's not something that they deal with on a regular basis, they're often kind of thrown to the wolves. And, you know, knowing their assets, knowing the resources and assets and folks that they can go to tackle these issues, they will grab any problem by the horns, but they often, you know, aren't given the resources, the number of samples, the laboratories, the authority to go in and collect samples and investigate things that they need to. So, you know, we've been trying to work with the National Environmental Health Association, or NEHA, in conjunction with the American Industrial Hygiene Association. And that's one of the things that we went there to talk about, was promoting a joint education and training program and content that would benefit both environmental health professionals and industrial hygienists, so that we can assist each other, because there's not enough of either of us, either professional group, to meet the needs that we have today or the needs we anticipate tomorrow. So yeah, it's a tough effort for them there, and we hope that we're able to improve the cadre of informed and trained professionals out in the field.
I love that approach, David, and I like the desire to be the focal point, to be able to be the supporting branch, to be able to help people rather get to the, as they maybe have felt lost in the past. And you know, from the notes that I received, that I gratefully received from Ryan regarding the conference, let's talk a little bit about that, Ryan and David. There was Arizona and California. There was outbreaks, okay. And our colleagues, environmental health colleagues, found it really difficult to cope with those outbreaks. Now, let's kind of highlight some of the problems that they perhaps came up against, and how we, as a forward-thinking organization, can actually support them should this ever occur again, which we know it's going to occur again. So, you know, let's talk a little bit about those outbreaks, what they learned, what the potential hurdles they had to face, and how we can support them.
Absolutely. Well, one of the things that we heard from some of our colleagues there, they gave some great presentations and lessons learned, and really laid their cards out on the table on the challenges they ran into when asked to either investigate. One presenter talked about evaluating well water in rural counties in Illinois. Another group talked about responding to an outbreak associated with a single hot tub. Our session was a little bit more diverse. We talked about the lessons learned from a longitudinal prospective study of over 300 hot tubs, and looking at the long-term testing. So those were just preliminary results, but some of the gaps that we're hearing about are obviously training, the availability of equipment, supplies, sampling, a predetermined laboratory to work with, so that they know how to collect samples if necessary, what measurements need to be done, and how those samples need to be analyzed. A worrisome trend is state and county health departments relying upon rapid test methods that are not the standard of care for culture, and they learn the hard way that they can give you false positive results for Legionella in water rather than accurate and reliable results that the current standard method is believed to give us.
Ryan, let's talk about you. You've been on the ground and you've been testing things, and before we kind of go into culture-based methods, etc., let's talk about, because I believe at one point you challenged some people there by, you know, questioning in a good way, of, you know, maybe how they were taking their samples and maybe where the problems that existed. Let's talk a little bit about that and maybe how we can help them with that, because obviously there was a great disconnect, I'm sure you found.
Yes, sir. Well, I would backtrack on challenging them, because that certainly wasn't the intent. And I hope that wasn't the way it was received, but it was more of a cautionary tale. So more of a cautionary tale. And, you know, most of the folks out there that have done samples for Legionella in EH, environmental health, they may have taken a dozen or two dozen samples in their career. You know, my associate, Matt Schimpf, and I have done over 4,000 in the last year, right? And so they're, with proper training, again, Dr. Krause, Robert McNeely, we've done enough samples, but we've also, and this is kind of cliche, we've been forced to think outside of the box. And when we have a plan, you work the plan until the plan is not workable, and then you make adjustments. And so some of the comments that I made and questions that I asked were more from, hey, this is what I've learned, yep, and this might be helpful for you. And one of the things I pointed out was humans in general are ingenuitive, right? We're creative. We cut corners, if you will. And sometimes that's a good thing and sometimes it's a bad thing. And so it was more of cautionary tales. Think about this, consider that. You know, if it could go wrong, Murphy's Law, it will. So What possibly are we not looking at that we should look at to help put the pieces of this puzzle together to find the answers? So it was good dialogue. I think that every bit of that conversation was well received as it was intended when it was given from both sides. And you know, ultimately, the goal is share knowledge, help each other out, be a cheerleader and a support, you know, and give people a little insight based on your experience. But, you know, in general terms, I felt like everyone, again, was looking out for the best interest of those for whom they were trying to protect, and were doing so based on every tool that they had available to them and every bit of training that they had been given. It's just a matter of, okay, let's give them a better tool, maybe a sharper knife, maybe, you know, let's not stir the paint with a screwdriver kind of thing. But yeah, it was good dialogue for sure.
Good analogy. Absolutely. There. I want to jump on, David, if I may as well, let's talk about a little bit about the culture testing, because anybody who's watching this that hasn't seen any of the previous discussions, you have a discussion with myself and Brian from one of the other labs, and we talk about the gold standard of a lab analysis and testing. So we'll link that so you can go and refresh yourself and check that out. But let's talk a little bit about the testing and, you know, maybe where we can support more, especially for our friends that are out there on the ground, environmental health officers, to know about this and the differences in the analysis, the differences in the culture and the testing. David, over to you.
Absolutely. One of the things that people have to recognize is that all sampling methodologies have limitations, flaws, biases, interferences, even culture methods. One of the biggest problems we have with current standardized to some degree, ISO methods for Legionella culture, is that each laboratory still does it a little bit differently, and there's laboratory variabilities between labs. So, you know, right now they have what's called elite certification, and it's not quantitative. It is a very, rudimentary assurance that the laboratories who are receiving the samples can detect Legionella in samples. It's not assurance that they can quantify it properly or to within a certain degree of accuracy. What's happened over the last few years, so there's two types of culture. One is the standard culture onto various media, petri dishes that have different types of additives. And that's what we call the standard of care. That's the gold standard. And then there's a kit type system that basically you take your sample, you inject it into this pocket, and if it's positive for Legionella anomalophila, it's supposed to turn color. It's a brown color. The problem is that system has been identified and demonstrated to give false positives. Now, false positive means that there's no really Legionella anomalophila in that sample, but it's giving you a reaction that says, yes, there's Legionella. And it gives a semi-quantitative number called the most probable number of viable cells. The problem there is that if you have Pseudomonas or Aspergillus or some other type of microbe that's giving you a false positive, and you're doing this as part of an outbreak investigation, you may go down the wrong road. You may stop investigating other sources. You may assume that you found the source, and people are still being exposed somewhere else. Then there's also PCR, polymerase chain reaction, which is kind of a DNA test that's looking at probes for both living and non-viable or non-culturable cells. And those, in theory, can give you faster results, but I often find that they can be contrary to what your culture samples are. So they can give you some confusing results. And then kind of at the end of all this is, there have been on the market on and off lateral flow assays, which give you some type of stain. It looks kind of like a COVID test kit or a pregnancy test, yes or no. I think the last time I saw them, they were pretty much off the market. They couldn't get them to give you a reliable result. So speed is not your friend when it comes to Legionella culture testing or Legionella testing of any type. And, it's going to take, a week to 10 days, sometimes 2 weeks to get any preliminary or final results. And so you have to think, what is the purpose of testing? What is the purpose of doing an investigation? And as part of an outbreak, their main purpose is to cut the chain of causation. They find sources, likely sources, take actions so that they can evaluate them, but also cease exposure. Sometimes that's simply taking something out of service, draining a tub, turning off a pump, turning off a shower, turning a valve, and putting up a sign saying, don't use this until further notified. And so that becomes your approach. In the meantime, you need to do the analysis that's necessary to determine if you found the source or if other sources are likely to be present.
So David, and Ryan as well. My question, I guess, is also, let's go back to the training. When you're talking about having the right analysis, having the right culture, maybe, as Ryan was saying, human beings, we're used to taking shortcuts, and this is the same with environmental health, it's the same with any other, water management professionals or anything like that. I guess there is a real lack in training to be able to, because they may think they're doing the right thing, they're doing their due diligence, but in actual fact, their false positive is giving them bad readings. They're maybe taking action on the wrong thing because the intelligence that they're gaining is completely wrong. And I guess, Ryan, you've found this out from the 4,000 odd tests that you and Matt has done, that you'll have many different examples of proper readings and false positives. So how important is it that we go back to basics for our environmental health technicians and start to educate them now about this growing problem?
Right. Well, I'll tell you, a lot of the lessons learned for me has been when you start comparing the different types of samples that you're taking. For instance, with our hot tub study, all those water samples that we've taken, we've also done swabs on cartridge filters and compared those. What is the rate at which a swab is positive compared to the water in that same tub? And, I thought for sure as we were doing those samples that we were going to get information that was provided to us that there is a relationship. Well, through 200 plus samples, there was only one that had any type of connection whatsoever. And so learning that, okay, maybe the presence of the bacteria, whether it's Legionella or other, is on a cartridge filter does not indicate that it's in the water, and vice versa. If it's in the water, it's not necessarily on the filter. So learning those lessons and being able to discern, okay, this is a viable indicator, or this is completely autonomous from each other, right? Learning those lessons and understanding that, I think, is key. You only will learn that if you do trials, and not just one or two, but in cases, hundreds or thousands. And again, I think that all goes into that training, being able to pursue different avenues, gathering data, comparing that data, running more calculations, I think, in this last year that Dr. Krause has instructed me to do, has led to that knowledge that not as all, everything's not as it seems, right? So let's dig a little deeper. And I think that's where the training really is important, is you have to be able to look beyond what's right in front of you. As Dr. Krause said in his presentation at NEHA, don't trust your eyes. You have to be able to look past what you see and pursue what you don't see. And usually something else comes into focus. So that's been a tremendous lesson, I think, that others could benefit from.
I think, yeah, there's been a pattern. There's been a trend.
If I may, there's an issue. There's an issue. Sorry, David, I'll get back to you now. There's an issue I want to say, because it's all very well and good giving the training to the environmental health technicians and people involved in industrial hygiene. But where do we stop? Because there is a serious risk here. And should we be extending this training, David, to even wider afield, to beyond the environmental health professional, the industrial professional? It seems to me that we should be.
Absolutely. Well, all right. So to address your question there, I published a op-ed piece in the Tampa Bay Times recently regarding data that was released from 2015 through 2020. So prior to and just the very beginning of the pandemic period, looking at waterborne pathogens associated with drinking water. And what that report from the CDC revealed was that Legionnaire's disease and Legionella have surpassed all other waterborne pathogens combined in this country as the cause of disease. And that the vast majority of those, 95% of those outbreaks that have occurred in that period are associated with healthcare facilities. So hospitals, nursing homes, long-term care, rehabs, assisted living facilities, where you have susceptible people. And that makes sense. But when you take into consideration in 2017, there was a mandate, a requirement that all healthcare facilities in the country that receive Medicare funding, at least, and that's the vast majority, have to implement water management plans that prevent waterborne pathogens and outbreaks of disease such as Legionnaires. And the data shows that 2016, 2015, it got worse in 2017, worse in 2018, worse in 2019. And 2020 dropped, but I think even in the report they acknowledge it's probably because COVID, it looks like Legionnaires' disease. There are probably many misdiagnoses. But what it's saying is that what we're doing now isn't working. The water management plans, the approach, the lack of testing, the lack of sampling, the lack of expertise, it's simply not changing the trend in disease cases. So, you know, we absolutely need to do better. We need to back up and look at it. And I truly advocate for the industrial hygiene approach as laid out in the Legionella assessment, environmental assessment and control in the second edition, which was published by AIHA, as a risk assessment approach. And really not just look at the potential, because frankly, if you have running water in a building, you have the potential for Legionnaire's disease. But to actually test that risk and take measurements and samples to determine, are you at risk and are you growing this organism in your water system? So AIHA has certainly been pushing this, but back to healthcare, the Association for Healthcare Facility Engineers, they need to get involved. They need much more training to not just have programs in place, but have effective programs in place. APIC, the Association for Professionals in Infection Control and Prevention, these are the guys and gals who are in the hospitals, in the nursing homes, and you know, following up on any healthcare-acquired infections, of which Legionnaires' disease is one of them. They need much more training and specific education on this. NEHA, obviously, environmental health professionals, epidemiologists need to understand the limitations and capabilities of these people. Industrial hygienists, I mean, there's a broad area of people. Water quality is not getting better in this country. It's getting worse. And we are taking measures every day as a society to make it worse and worse. So water conservation efforts make that more difficult. Almost every water conservation effort we look at in a building to restrict water flow, to lower water temperatures, to limit water usage, increases the risk of waterborne pathogens. And so until we accept that and acknowledge that and find ways to do the to control the pathogens without wasting water, you know, we're going to keep going in this trend, which is increasing number of cases, disease rates, and fatalities.
You know, guys, so we're, you know, there's obviously a problem here that we're tackling. I want to kind of bring it kind of full circle into how we can support people out there, because there's going to be a lot of environmental health officers that are lost. There's a lot of water management professionals that are going to be lost and don't know where to turn. So what can we do as an organization? How can people find us, rely on us to be their support system as we move forward with this? Because this is not an overnight thing. This is something that we need to work on from now. Let's talk about how people can, we can support them.
Well, you know, most of the times the health departments or health agencies are going to reach out to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. And while they do have some, I'll say, well-established and sometimes antiquated recommendations, they're slowly getting more and more specific and useful, but they are general recommendations. Until you have boots on the ground and you understand the facilities that they're dealing with, you know, recommendations are going to be, you know, just in general and not specific to the problem at hand. At HC3, you know, even if we're not involved in a case or a project, we will always take the call of a health agency and provide any guidance we can. I've done that many times in my career, both as a public health official and as a private consultant. But the bottom line is there are not enough public health officials out there, certainly not enough who are trained and equipped and prepared to respond to an outbreak. And we're in outbreak season now. You know, this is the time of the year where in, you know, midsummer through fall, where outbreaks can double across the country. So what I would advise is, you know, for any public health agency and environmental health group that are kind of preparing for that 4:30 on a Friday afternoon call, to know your assets, know who is around you, know what laboratories are available, know what experts are available in your field, know what healthcare facilities are around and their experts on staff. Those can be done by simply a phone call about, you know, the expertise in that area or that county. And, you know, sometimes we have to reach out to private sector experts. But right now, there is no credential. There is no assurance that you can go to anyone and say, okay, I know because you have this license or you have this certification, you are a competent professional. That doesn't exist right now. We are discussing that. There are discussions going on about possible certifications and training that can help lay out that competency. And we can certainly provide a website link to what we have created and published from the American Industrial Hygiene Association called the Framework on Legionella, in which we've laid out the knowledge, skills, and abilities. It's not the training course, it's the training syllabus. It's the curriculum that you should know before you step out and present yourself as an expert in this field. That document is free and can be downloaded off of the AIHA website. We provide the link to that. And I would encourage all people to take a look at it so that they can understand maybe where they have some gaps in their knowledge, training, and maybe reach out to either NEHA or AIHA and seek that training. We're also providing in the middle of a survey right now that we're seeking feedback from various professionals who might need this training. And we're going to provide a link to that as well, so that you can go on there and provide your input as to what training and knowledge you feel you need to improve upon or seek. And hopefully we can develop an umbrella training that's applicable to healthcare, to infection control, to nursing homes, to environmental health, as well as industrial hygienists, so that we can pull together, we can speak with the same voice, we can use the same terms, we're talking from the same instruction manuals, and improve all of our capabilities to respond to these cases when they happen.
Thank you, David. And I would venture as well, ladies and gentlemen, if you listen here, you can go onto our website, hc3fl.com, and we have resources and links there. You'll have links below this as well in our notes. But certainly, sign up for our newsletter. Let's go and read some of our articles as well. But realize that we are a hub for you. We have resources that you need. Don't feel lost. And as Ryan had mentioned before, when we were talking before, don't have this 4 o'clock Friday thing that happens, the breakout, and you don't know where to turn. You do know where to turn because we have the resources to help you. Ryan, you're a person out on the ground. You've been out, you've done thousands and thousands of testing. You've seen the changes in the industry. Do you think that this training is going to make a positive impact on the ground for people?
Certainly. One of the things to think about, and I'm big into analogies, and I use sports analogies sometimes when talking. Everybody should have a playbook, but every playbook is not the same. Some are effective and some aren't. And so I would encourage those that don't have a playbook to get a proper one, like David is talking about. And we've got a great playbook, and they're welcome to access that and the knowledge that goes along with it and get that training. If you do have a playbook and it has, it's got dust on it, and your collection bottles have been sitting on the shelf for 2 or 3 years, or you have 2 or 3 new folks in your office, it's probably time to dust that playbook off, read through it, do some comparisons, right? Yeah. And just be ready. And, you can't necessarily practice it, but at the same time, you can go over it and feel confident in what it is you're doing. And, don't practice till you get it right. Practice till you can't get it wrong.
I love that. That's a brilliant. I love your analogy there, Ryan. That's a brilliant one. Well, gentlemen, I want to thank you both for being with me today. I hope that we've given people some things to think about, and they'll have connections to reach us. Ladies and gentlemen, just realize this is the season. This is when these outbreaks can happen. So don't feel lost. You know that we're there to support you. We're on your side. We're in your team. We're in your corner. David, final thoughts that you can give out to anybody out there who may be looking to connect with you, or something else you want to just say at the end here?
Well, like I said, if you have a playbook, if you have a plan, if you're working on a response plan, a preparedness plan for Legionnaires, whether you're a public health sector, environmental health group, or a healthcare facility, and you just want an outside set of eyes to look at it and give you some pointers on the procedures and methodologies. It's not what you know, it's what you don't know that can bite you. And the universe of information out there is vast. And you want to learn from my mistakes or somebody else's mistakes, not from your own. So those hard lessons learned, I would encourage you to set down any preconceived notions, understand that any plan can be made better and effective and reliable, and reach out to us. We'll be glad to take a look at it and give you some critique on that approach. And if you do ever have a suspected outbreak or a cluster, don't go to the proverbial yellow pages and start Googling that. That is a surefire way to get Joe Bob's AC repair guys out there to tell you what they need to do. So find those professionals before you're in dire need of them. and develop those relationships.
Thank you, David. Thank you, Ryan. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for listening and being with us. We will be back again with another educational segment sometime very soon. And if you've got any questions, then please, you know, reach out to us, hc3fl.com. Any questions at all. If you just want a little bit of advice, then email us or pick up the phone. We're here for you. Gentlemen, thank you for being with us today. And I look forward to seeing you guys again very soon. God bless.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Thank you.